And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I heard a quote once, and I can't remember where I heard this exactly, but it went something like this. Free advice is not always worth the price. We're going to talk about that today. Where are you getting your information? Sources of information, there are a lot out there, and it seems to be growing by the day. Now, I won't say the quality is improving by the day necessarily. We'll talk about that. But really, where are you going out and asking for help and asking for advice and maybe just passively reading advice? A lot of it online, on the internet. And it has become the wild, wild west out there, in my opinion, in a lot of cases. And we're going to look at a few real estate examples, specific examples where just on various fora that I'm on, social media groups, places like that, where I'll see somebody ask a question and get just a lot of replies, and the replies are all over the place, you know, and free advice. It's worth what it, you know, what you paid in this case. So thinking about, you know, investing in real estate, it's natural to want to gather a lot of information, especially if you've never done this before. And if you're new to the show, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, well, we're dedicated to talking to you, to sharing with you ideas around real estate investing, both in the single family space, right? Getting single family rentals together, as well as apartments. That's all that we focus on. But if I think about investing in real estate, maybe from a process point of view, what does that involve? And that is how I think about it, as a series of processes. And I bring this up because at each of these points and, you know, each of the processes, you're going to want to seek advice or get help or be educated at a minimum. And each of these processes, they can be learned. They can be taught, by the way. They can be learned and they can be refined. And if you go down the path of real estate investor, you'll do that very thing. You'll learn as you go and you'll refine those processes over time. And some of the processes, well, it starts by deciding, making a decision, thinking about and making a decision on the particular investing model that you want to follow. There are lots of different ways to invest in single family assets, for example. And you also need to think about your investing criteria. I'm not going to go into this in depth today. We've talked about this on recent shows. But what are you looking to do? Create cash flow? Create wealth? Or both. You can do one or the other. In fact, you're going to do both naturally, but one may have a greater weight than the other. Well, which of those do you give greater weight to with your current goals is essentially the question. And thinking about investing model, what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited, in case you are new, is we're looking for houses and apartments, in fact, that are distressed. Sometimes that's physical distress. Sometimes the owner or the seller is distressed. And due to that distress, we're able to get that at a discount. And we buy that at a discount. And again, typically there's a physical component to that distress. If I think about houses, foundation out of whack, roof needs to be replaced, cosmetic, you know, 1960s house, not been updated since the 1960s with that green shag carpet. I love that carpet because I like to get it out of there and update that thing. So we're buying this at a discount. We're fixing all this stuff, renovating it, making it new, and then leasing it for a great market rate. So that's a model that we follow at Lifestyles Unlimited. But as I said, there are others out there. Keep that in mind, though, as we go through the discussion today. Other people do different things. But that's part of the process, deciding on your model. Then it's finding a property. That is a process. Then there's doing your due diligence after you're under contract and getting to the closing finish line, in essence, there. Financing. In our case, because we're buying distressed assets, we're financing this twice. We're closing twice. Once typically with hard money. That's a type of financing. Doing the repairs and then refinancing into a long-term conventional loan. So finding that in itself is a process, believe me. But as I mentioned, we're going to renovate the property. Well, there are things going in there. We're going to lease the property when it's ready to go. And then we're going to have our ongoing operations, move in, move out, right, of residents. That's kind of the bookend of the lease. And during that leasehold, you should do regular inspections, walkthroughs, seasonal service, thinking about the hot summer temperatures and that HVAC system important, possibly handling maintenance requests. Now, going back to the Lifestyles model, you need to really understand our model here is that we are going in and fixing up anything that is broken now or could break in the next handful of years. We call that best product, best price, because we're going to get the best price. We're going to lease it for a great rate to a great resident. But because we've gone in and fixed that house up front or those apartments, our maintenance requests are truly minimal. So handling them, you know, that is part of ongoing operations. But I don't want to scare you off by thinking tenants, taxes, toilets. I'm going to be dealing with toilets at midnight. Nothing like that. It's nothing like that. And I'll get to the advice category here later. I've got a few examples where I especially hear bad advice or have heard it or seen it over the years. So just I want you to have your ears at attention when, or your eyes, I suppose, when you start to read some of the stuff in these categories. But let's just start with information sources in general, because as you proceed down this path, as you say, hey, I'm gonna do what we talked about. I'm going to become a real estate investor. I want to buy a single family house. I want to fix it up. I want to do all the things you're talking about. It's a great idea. I have zero regrets having gone down that path myself. And back when we started, we had to explore different ideas. How are we gonna do this? Where are we gonna go for information? And a lot of people, now for us, we actually caught this radio program. That was our first source of information when it came to exploring investing in real estate. But for a lot of people out there, well, they have friends or family, acquaintances, maybe people at work that have tried this, sometimes to much success, but often not successful at all. And unfortunately, people like to regurgitate those horror stories that they personally encountered over a beer or at the water cooler at work. So you get a lot of misinformation or information perhaps from people that were not properly informed, that did not go to the good sources before they began and as they progressed. So be careful when you start to talk with your buddies about this sort of thing. Even after doing this for a good decade and talking to friends that know what I do, they still get nervous. And when I say, hey, have you given this some thought? No, all these things that I read about and hear about, I say, look, yeah, it doesn't matter. They don't want to see the good example. They hear all that bad stuff, and be very careful with that. The countervailing weight to that, though, I do have to say, I mentioned that I heard about Lifestyles Unlimited and investing in real estate through the radio program back 10, 11, 12 years ago. We have a lot of people that become members because of references from other successful Lifestyles Unlimited members. So it's a two-sided coin. You have to be aware of who you are speaking with. And I think that will apply to a lot of the conversation today. Be aware of the source, be aware of their motive, be aware of their broader motivation. So anecdotally, just from friends is a source. Media is one place where you really have to question the motivation. That may be TV news. Be careful there, because that's typically a very broad net that they're casting. You'll hear national numbers when they're talking about the housing market, or interest rates or anything else. It's an average or it's a national number. But real estate is local. So whatever they're talking about that applies nationally or is following some strange dynamic of up and down on the coast, we don't have that here in Texas. We don't have that in Georgia, in Tennessee, and other markets where we operate. It's more of a slow and steady sort of race. So keep in mind that real estate is local as you hear the stuff on the TV news. Remember, they're trying to sell you a little bit of doom and gloom because that keeps you coming back. You like to watch that car wreck, right? We're all rubbernecking as we drive by. Radio is a good place. Programs like this. Some of these are going to be very focused. Do we have a motivation? Yeah, we want to bring you on board. Of course we do. You know, the bigger the pond in which I swim is, the better it is for me. So I love it when people come on board. I love meeting the new people, watching them grow, because it feeds the positive circle that we have as members here. But radio is a good place. Internet. And that's going to be the big focus for today, because like I said earlier, it has become the wild, wild west. So more on that later. We'll save that. Good place to go. Professionals. Realtors. Well, hold on. You might think this is a good source. Unfortunately, you'd be wrong in a lot of cases. Now, we've been interviewing members of the realty team over the past few weeks. We've got a few more perhaps in the future. They've stepped aside for a moment. I think they're busy. We're so busy. There is so much going on. They are good realtors to talk to, but I can tell you over my decade plus as an investor, I've talked to plenty that really don't understand what the investor does. You ask them, do you work with investors? Those hands are going to go shooting up because they want your business. But they don't really understand, a lot of them, what the rental owner does, what it is we're looking for in returns. I've spent a lot of time over my lifetime trying to educate non-Lifestyles Realty realtors out there. So be very careful. Now, good source for lots of things like comparable sales, comparable lease comps, that sort of thing. Yes. Other information, maybe not. Lenders, same thing here. Lenders are not all created equal. Lenders that understand what we do as members at Lifestyles Unlimited, yeah, they get the model. They get what they're probably investors themselves. I think that's a good question to ask, in fact, a realtor or a lender, is have you bought and do you own any single family rental property? If the answer is yes, well, there may still be some caveats there. How did they buy it? What is their model? It may be different. But with lenders, you know, typically, yeah, I want to find the good money. But they may not understand the transaction either. Other trades are good places to go as well, of course. You know, if I need to understand what's happening with my air conditioner system, is it Google air conditioning, or is it going to my actual air conditioner guy that was out at my house a week and a half or 2 months ago, whenever it was, servicing my system? Yeah, that's my source. That's who I go to. Library? Yeah, you could go to the library. There's still books there. I go to the library a lot with my six-year-old, and there are some books on rental properties there. Other investors, this is a really good place that I like to go for information sources, but I have to qualify this as well because, and we'll see this when we talk about the internet side of things, are they experienced? Do they have one house, or do they have a portfolio of 10 or 20? There's a difference. And even if they are experienced, what is their model? Are they following the Lifestyles Unlimited model? Are they buying houses that need work? Are they fixing them up, renovating those, buying with hard money, refinancing into conventional on the back end? It's a very specific model. They may be doing something else. They may be that cash investor. Well, I'm not interested in paying all cash. My money goes a lot farther when I have leverage. They may be doing some sort of midterm rental or short term. Not interested. That's not what we do. We're buying and holding for long term residence. So be sure to qualify. Not only are they experienced, but what is that experience? Are they using the same model? What is their operating style? Do they follow best product, best price? Unfortunately, there are people out there that will buy a house that is not in good shape and leave it as it is and try to rent that out. I have people here in my submarket. And I see their listings, and it's a terrible thing. Is that somebody that I want to talk to, even though they've been doing it for two decades, to get advice? No, absolutely not. Final question you might ask is, what are your financial goals? Why are you doing this? So we all start at different places. We all have different places where we're going, and that will affect the type of advice and recommendations I may get. Last place I would go is two education and mentoring groups like Lifestyles Unlimited. And no matter where you're listening, there are many groups out there, real estate investing associations and lots of groups in any given area. Those are going to probably be good sources. Again, be careful, qualify. You know, we talked on last week's show a little bit about shiny object syndrome. Are they marketing the land flipping or storage facilities today? Well, maybe that's not what I want to hear about. So be careful who you do talk with, because they do have other motives there. When we come back, we're going to focus on the internet. So stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Want to continue the conversation inside the community? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook. Stay up to date on upcoming events, market trends, member stories, featured podcasts, real estate wisdom, and more. You can even join us a couple times a month as we go live with our case study events right on Facebook from the comfort of your home. Get online and get in the know. Turn listening on the radio into participating in the community. Like and follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. So we're talking today about sources of information and places to go for advice. And the genesis of this is just the simple fact that I see people asking questions out there on various fora and whatnot online and getting terrible advice. Terrible advice. Free advice is worth what you pay for it very often. So you have to be very careful. And we talked in the prior segment about various sources of information, just so you're aware of what's out there. And always ask yourself if there is some other motivation or what's behind this. Is it the news just trying to sell, you know, trying to get eyeballs, the internet trying to get eyeballs on their content? There's always some kind of motivation out there. So it's worth asking the question. But I'm going to focus now on the internet, and I'm going to cast a little bit of shade on the internet here, because I feel like it's getting worse. You know, I've seen terms out there like internet pollution, and not connected with, you know, greenhouse effects and all that stuff. But the fact that there's just so, it's kind of like up in space now. We have a lot of space junk floating around. There's pollution on the internet. There's so much content and things that are just created to drive you to their affiliate links so they can make a couple of pennies. And it's congesting the results of your search, I feel. And with artificial intelligence and the way people are leaning into that, do you think that a bunch of content created by AI is going to help or hurt the internet in this sense? I think it's going to be harder and harder to filter through the things you see out there. You may need to find and focus on smaller groups to get to that key and truly good information. And there's something I like to think about here that, you know, I mentioned on an earlier show, we were having some car problems and car was in the shop, truck was in the shop. And so we started thinking, okay, well, let's get ready. Let's start looking around and think about what do we want to buy if we have to replace your car? And never really thought about it before, but somebody mentioned the Subaru Outback. Was never on my radar at all. Since we started talking about that and just did a little internet search, yeah, we did, I'd see those things everywhere. Had never noticed them before. Now, is that what we're buying? Nah, we're going to wait as long as we can on our car, of course, but that is frequency illusion. Those cars have always been out there. They've always been out there in the same numbers, but now I'm noticing them. And I'm going to combine frequency illusion with something that's called confirmation bias, which is simply a tendency to seek out information that confirms our beliefs. And I think these two things combine online in internet search engines and result in us being fed certain information. For example, you know, not too long ago, I've talked about the RV bunker on here, and I thought, you know, It's getting hot out there. Cost of electricity is going up. Maybe I should look at putting solar panels on the roof. A lot of people do that. Then you can boondock. You can go out into the woods for forever. But I did a search for solar panels, didn't buy anything. And now what do I see all the time? Advertisements for solar panels. Every time I log on, solar panels, everything. It doesn't matter where I go. That's what I see. So I'm seeing this. It's not even an illusion. The frequency is there. They're pushing this. It's getting pushed upon me. And the other thing I look for a lot is just preparation for the show. I'll look at information around demographics or information around saving rates and that sort of thing. And now, what do I get fed in a lot of my news feeds? It is information on retirement. So I'm clearly being pushed this stuff. I wouldn't say it's my confirmation bias. It's almost the internet reflecting that and echoing that back to me. Now, granted, a lot of times there's a bit of a negative slant in the stuff that I'm being fed, so I have to be careful there. Again, it goes back to motivation. We know the negative news sells better than the positive stuff. That is simply a fact. And clickbait, ultimately, getting me to click through to this stuff. So be very careful. I feel like it's getting a little bit worse out there. And as far as using the internet for real estate investing, now there are a lot of positives. It is great for a lot of things. You know, I just got an email, in fact, from one of the realty team. Part of Texas down near Houston. What do I do? First thing I do, go to Google Maps, look it up, drop the little guy in, walk around the town, see if I like the area. So it's great for researching an area to invest. It's great for looking at properties. It's great for doing due diligence, maps, crime data, all that stuff. And we talked on last week's show about investing remotely. Well, if I need to find contractors, if I'm going to be buying remotely, and that is the plan, well, I need to find a team. I need to build a team. It's a good source for that. Now, understand you do need to do your due diligence as well on these people. Facebook social media groups are good to find at least those initial leads. Do your vetting. But here's the problem. Here's what I really see is when it comes to soliciting advice and going to social media for this sort of advice, questions, whatever you may have, various forums, I see a lot of bad advice. I see a lot of bad information. I see a lot of wrong, just frankly wrong information. Now, are these people with some motivation trying to sell me something? Oftentimes, no. But again, free advice is often worth the price you pay for it. People just want to feel good and try to be helpful, perhaps. But again, it goes back to what we talked about with other information sources. Even if I'm talking to an experienced investor, I want to understand where do they come from. Are they qualified to help me with my question? That's why I hang around in groups where I know who is in that group, and I know those people can help me. But I do see on the various groups out there, Facebook, etc., a lot of unqualified commenters. And if you read closely, a lot of times people are commenting on questions that a landlord may have, and the commenter does not own rental property. Is that a qualified, is that qualified advice? Probably not. And I see a lot of uneducated commenters out there. They do not have the level of education that we as members at Lifestyles Unlimited have. Most of the bad advice that I have seen really revolves around the ongoing operations, right? In the ongoing management phase. We talked in the first segment about some of the phases or some of the processes that go into buying a rental house, for example, getting it rehabbed and rent ready, etc. And it's that ongoing management where typically we're running into the biggest issues. Sometimes it's dealing with a contractor, but very commonly it's just the ongoing management, because what are we doing? We're dealing with people. You know, we're not renting. We're renting to people. Let's just leave it at that. And people do squirrely things sometimes. Yes, we have a lease in place. You should. You know, you can have an oral lease, but you should have a written lease in place. Different states require different things. Again, talk to your attorney. But that's the contract. That dictates what we should do. And in any of these questions I see in the forum, a lot of times the real answer is go look at your lease. What does it say? In this case, the behavior should be. But again, a lot of the bad advice I read is in this sphere. And some of the questions I see revolve around the security deposit, retaining some of that or all of that because you feel that some level of damage was done as the resident has moved out over the period that they lived in that house. And there are a lot of rules around this. And, you know, you'll get a lot of advice from the Peanut Gallery on this very topic. But I would tell you, go consult your state's property code. The Texas State Property Code tells you, for example, what is considered wear and tear. Well, you cannot charge for wear and tear. Normal wear and tear is part of a leasehold period. So understand what that means. And it's right there. And again, if you don't understand what the code is telling you, consult, you know, talk with your attorney. Don't listen to what you're seeing out there from the Peanut Gallery, because a lot of it is wrong. Collecting a debt. If you have had a bad tenant, I see a lot of information around here. I would go with a debt collection service personally. I don't want to handle that. But bigger picture, I think you should be now looking at your processes and why am I having this issue? This is now asking questions about you, not about what the resident did, but you. How is your screening process? Did it fail here? Sometimes things may get missed, but when we put a good screening process in place, we capture and are able to reject a lot of the bad actors, the people that do have evictions they're trying to hide from us, for example. If you have a good screening process, you'll catch that and nip it in the bud. I see a lot of information or a lot of questions around inherited tenants. And that means I'm buying a rental property that has a tenant, a resident in place. And that's a great opportunity for immediate cash flow. So don't hesitate to do that, but do your due diligence. And understand, a lot of questions I've seen are about, well, I'd like to put my own lease into place. Mm-mm, cannot do that, at least not in Texas. You inherit that lease as well. If it's a 12-month lease and you're buying the rental property 6 months into that lease, you are responsible to maintain that lease for the balance of the 12-month term. So as part of your due diligence, when you buy that property, you better see the lease and any addenda that go with that lease. How much was the security deposit? That better roll over. who owns the appliances, all kinds of things that can go into there. Is there a pet agreement? That dog that I saw when I walked the property, is it supposed to be there? That's a big one. And if your plan is to renovate that house to drive up the value because you got it at a discount and raise the rents, well, if there's a lease in place, plan to wait. But that's okay. If you're buying right, that can work as well. I see a lot of questions on renovation side, broken appliances. Air conditioner right now is a big one. Well, this goes back to your lease. What does it say? Who is responsible? In Texas, it has verbiage around what happens when the AC goes out. Is it considered an emergency? Is it not? Look at your lease. Plumbing questions. Go to the pro. And it's interesting. There's a group that I'm in, and I see a lot of plumbing questions, and the plumber himself doesn't reply. Says, give our office a call, right? He knows better than to give out free advice. Is he soliciting business? I don't know, maybe, but this stuff can get misconstrued pretty easily, and I think this person understands that. Pets, big one. Set your criteria. Do not deviate. And a lot of questions I see out there revolve around charges. You can charge a non-refundable one-time pet fee at the start. I like to do that. If the pet gets in there tomorrow, tears up my house the day after that, and dies the day after that, can I keep collecting pet rent? No, but I at least have that fee up front. Some people charge a pet deposit that is refundable. And of course, pet rent. We do both, you know, non-refundable pet fee as well as a monthly pet rent that is ongoing. And that takes me probably to the biggest area where I see right now, anyhow, the biggest quantity of misinformation. And that's how to handle a request for an ESA, which is an emotional support animal, or a service animal. There is a difference there. So let's talk about this one. A common question, can I charge a pet rent? A service animal is not a pet. No. The simple answer is no, you cannot charge a pet rent. Can I charge a pet deposit or that pet fee? No, this is not a pet. But I have a pet policy. Doesn't that apply? No, this is not a pet. Service animals are usually fairly evident. Now, you can't ask. I cannot ask what the underlying cause is. Emotional support animal, a little bit harder to tell. But I think that the people ultimately asking for advice on these various platforms, they've got a big problem. It's not just the bad advice that they're getting, but I think the problem is they're missing proper support. It's a tricky world out there, and it's getting more and more difficult, as we said, to sort through all of the advice and recommendations and information that is being thrown our way, and I think it's only going to get worse. So find a good group that you can associate yourself with, and you can go from there. And by the way, again, if you have any questions for me after today's show or any comments, you can send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. I've gotten a lot of great questions recently. I'd like to put some of these into a show, so send me what you got. askandy@luinc.com. And remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.